I could tell of the story when thousands were bid, when he lifted the sick, when he raised up the dead. I could sing of the others like the blind made to see, but I'd rather tell you what's happened to me. Once I was lost, but now I am found in the book of life. My name's written down. Now I'm part of the family. I'm a child of the King. This is the story. This is my song to sing. Must be forgiven to make heaven your home. The good life you're living won't do it alone. So trust in the Savior and He'll save you today. And with blessed assurance, you too can sing.
Testimony today, and you listen to that third verse, that's really an invitation. So if you're here and you're not saved, today could be your day. 431, then you can sing this one with us. Saved, saved. 431. Let's all take a hymnal and stand and sing together.
And walk in grace and through hope.
glad to be saved. Say amen. Now that, don't worry, that's not going to hurt you. I promise. That don't hurt a soul. That just helps the Lord. Amen. Isn't it good to be saved? We're going to sing that last verse again. When we get to the chorus, we're going to drop the music out and raise our voices a cappella to the Lord. Man, if you know you're saved, if you know the, most of you know the chorus, when you get that chorus, just drop your book and just rear back and sing. Let's worship the Lord on that last verse. Come on.
When
said. Hey, amen. It's good to be saved. Good to be in church. It's good to have this good crowd here this morning. Praise God. Folks are still coming in. I apologize for the parking. The tent is there and it won't be, it'll be there till tomorrow morning. And so we're just going to have to kind of drive around. I appreciate everybody being good enough to park on the grass. We hate you have to do that. After today, after tomorrow morning, everything will be back to normal. But man, we had a great, great day yesterday, and we'll mention that again in a moment. But let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's start this thing off by honoring God in prayer. And then you be seated after we pray, and the choir will sing another number. And Brother Aaron Martin, you pray for us, would you please?
God dresses the lilies in splendor and beauty. The tiniest sparrow His hand so lovingly feeds. So why should I worry? His word has assured me that He will supply, oh yes, He'll supply our every need.
Sing here. Glad to have some visitors here. We'll meet you all in just a few moments, but right now let's all stand. We're going to give you a chance to fellowship together and give the choir a chance to come down.
Good to see you all. How are you? right. Thank you so much, choir, for that good singing this morning. And thank you for being here. Man, it's good to see a lot of life around the church house this morning. That's wonderful, especially since most everybody in the church wore out from the Jubilee yesterday. But you all have rebounded well, I'll say. And, of course, we've got revival starting this morning. We're excited about that. But let me first welcome all the visitors. Good to see all the visitors here today. So glad to have you all here. Good to have Eli and his girlfriend Megan. Is that right? And good to have them. And let's see, where's Angie's over here? Angie Powers and then her sister-in-law Jessica. Now, Jessica is Brother Dean Powers' daughter, oldest daughter, right? Second oldest daughter. And then Angie is married to their son, who now leads the music at Dank, Virginia, where I was just a few weeks ago with Brother Estelle Ambergy. And so, and then Jessica's from Grundy, Virginia. And so both places, if you want to find them, you got to mean to want to go there. Amen. I mean, you got to be wanting to go there. Both of them found right in the middle of the Southwest Virginia mountains. And anyway, we're glad to have them. And they were here for the meeting yesterday. And Angie's going to sing for us this morning. You'll enjoy hearing Angie's thing. She's got a beautiful voice, plays the guitar. And we're looking forward to hearing from them in just a little while. And then Brother Robbie King is here, but I think he went to pick his wife up from the hotel. So he should be back in just a few minutes. Then good to have Ms. Wass and Barbara. This is Brenda's mother and sister. And, of course, Mom lives up in Minnesota. And then Barbara lives down in Florida. And they always come for the Jubilee. So that's always the three amigos right there when the Jubilee comes around. And we're so glad to have them here with us today as well. And then Miss Ramona's got several children here with her today. I told him, I said, she looks especially young today. Got Juan here. Of course, Juan lives out in Elgin. And then Sharon, her and Sharon actually live together, have just moved to a new place on another part of Columbia. So glad to have Sharon back. And then Kathy, her daughter from Texas, Austin, and here till Tuesday. And so Miss Ramona just keep that good grin, I'll tell you. I like to see her smile like that, but so good to have them here with us. And then Mike Locklear, my grace, hadn't seen Mike in a while. Mike is here in town, and I used to visit over at the other church when we were over there. And so I saw him come in. I said, Mike, I'm glad to see you. I think Steve might have talked to you maybe sometime this week. And Mike's a good man. We love Brother Mike and appreciate him coming to visit with us today. So good to have you. Then Victor's got Katina and her daughter, and Anon. Anon, did I say? Okay, almost got it right. And good to see you. Then Miss Sandal and Nathaniel sitting back there. That's Mom and son. They're separated, but that's all right. No. Good to see Miss Sandal and Nathaniel both here with us today. And then I'm just kind of looking around. I think everybody else is home, folks. I hope I didn't miss anybody. Oh, right. Well, I had them down special, so I was getting to them. Sandro and Maisie, stand up there, Sandro. Sandro and Maisie Clemmer are missionaries to Peru. And Sandro's from Peru, and they minister down there. Now her daddy and stepmother are down there with the. Okay, all right. Down there keeping the work going. She just had their second child, and what's his name again? Nico. That's right. So Joaquin's out in Oregon with his grandson Nico, that was just born not long ago, And then the Asinguas are not here this morning, but their son is named Nico. We got a lot of Nicos around here. The only Nico I remember is those little crackers. But got a lot of Nicos around here now. But where is Steele? Is he in the nursery? And so they came over here so that she could have the baby. And while they're here, Sandro's taking English classes. Is that right? Learning English. You doing good, Sandro? There you go. He's doing good. I see he's got the baby. He's feeding that young, and he's learned how to be a good dad. And we love Sandro and Maisie. What a blessing they are. Maisie was saved at one of our ladies' jubilees, and since then went on the mission field and met Sandro. And so now they're married, got two boys, and working hard down there with in Peru with the orphans down there. We love the Mendozas. They're such a blessing. And her daddy, Dave, I've known Dave Clemmer for many, many years, and he always sends videos. Every week he'll send videos to us of what's going on down there, and we always enjoy watching those videos. In fact, the last one he sent had llamas in it, as you can see. Now, you know, I'm mellowing in my old age. because normally I would have had all this stuff took down, but you know, we want everybody to see what was all about yesterday. We had, how many did we wind up having, Brenda, all together, you remember? 261. We had a church full of ladies here, had a great day yesterday. I do want to say again, our ladies did a tremendous job getting all that put together over the last few months. And then men, you all just again outshined yourselves and outdid yourselves with all the work that was done here yesterday. It was such a nice day yesterday, so much nicer than last year. And so we weren't quite as drained, but everything went so good. And so we just left up these little banners so that we had folks said, hey, we'd like to have a picture made with that. So we left them up today. Now, by tomorrow, they'll be down. Okay. So, but I told them, I said, shucks, leave them up there. Let them see it. And so you could see that llamas was the theme. I've seen more llamas since January than I've seen my whole entire life. In fact, I didn't know what a llama was until last year. But anyway, that's what it was. The theme was. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so all the ladies that worked getting ready for the Jubilee this year, if you'll just hang right after we dismiss, just come right up here, whichever side, I don't guess, that they want to get a group picture made with one of the banners before we take it down, so everybody will have it. We can send that down to Dave and some other folks, put it on our website and all of that so folks can see it. But anyway, we'll do that at the end of the service, all right? Now, real quickly, I want to do this before I forget. First of all, where's Miss Poland? There she is. Stand up, Miss Poland. Miss Poland turned 91 years young. Was it yesterday? Yesterday. She was here at the Jubilee celebrating her 91st birthday. And doesn't she look good for 91? I'm telling you. She is well preserved. Amen. I'm telling you. And you know what happens to preserves? The longer they go, the sweeter they get. Is that right, Miss Poland? Yeah, if I say so. And then Sandro, stand. Oh, yes, ma'am. You go ahead.
I want to thank everybody for the nice birthday card with all the things that he's on. I want to thank you for a great day yesterday. I can't think of a better place to be than here for my birthday.
Amen, Miss Poland.
Thank all my family for all the
blessings. Amen.
Thank you for taking care of me and being on.
Yeah. No. No way. Amen. Bless
you.
Well, I want you to know I'm 31 years younger than you are, and I get crabby too. So there you go. Stand. We're going to sing to you. Stand up. Stand up. We won't sing to you. Yeah. Sandro, stand up. Sandro has a birthday. Is it this weekend too? It's today. Sandro's birthday. Amen. And how old are you, Sandro? How old are you?
35.
Yep. 20 years from now, you'll still be 35, won't you? Huh? Yeah, I hear you. I want to sing happy birthday. Now, I know we do birthdays. I guess we're... We'll do the rest of the birthdays that we do every month. But I wanted to recognize these two. So let's sing happy birthday to them right quick, okay? Sing it together. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Now, between the two of you, you're just six years longer than it took Noah to build the ark. So that'll keep it in historic perspective. How's that? All right, a couple of things real quick, and I'll have Brother Brian. Hold on, Brian. We're going to do this. Brian will come. We got the new Call to Glories on the table for next month. They're on the table. If you use these for your daily devotions, they're back there. Be sure, adults, you get one if you use them, okay? And prayer request, Brother Joaquin is in Oregon. They have decided to move. He's going to stay long enough to help get Alexis and Nico, his grandchild, moved to Southern California where her husband is in the Marines. down in San Diego. So pray for Joaquin. We miss him not being here. And pray for Ann Rowell's family. We mentioned this last week, but Ann Rowell, her husband Gene, pastors over at Gantt Street. And they had 35 coming to the Jubilee yesterday, but her mother died suddenly last week. And she's been to our Jubilee several years. And we hate that, but they had this funeral yesterday, so obviously they could not come, and we surely understand that. But pray for Miss Ann and the family. Miss Ann was caring for her mother over the last several years, and so that'll certainly leave a hole in her life and in her heart. So you remember the Rowell family. And then Brother Jerry Peacock. Brother Jerry pastors out in Camden. We love Brother Jerry, his wife. Some of their ladies were here yesterday, I believe. And Brother Jerry pastors in Camden, but he's also a general contractor. He got this building built for us. He's the one that oversaw it, got it done, and man, he really got things rolling. Well, he's had bad neck trouble for a while, and they're going to do surgery on his neck Tuesday and at the Midlands Orthopedic. And so I'm not sure exactly to what extent. I didn't get a chance to talk to his wife too much, but I'm going to call him this afternoon. But I love Brother Jerry Peacock. He was such a stabilizing force getting this thing done, having to deal with the county and all those rules and regulations and me following him around saying, what about this? What about this? What, you know? And finally he just said, look, I'll handle it. And he needed to tell me that because I'm not a contractor. But anyway, he did such a good. I love Brother Jerry Peacock. And so you pray for him as well. Okay, come on, Brian.
All right, we got a very busy week this week. Be back tonight. Of course, our revival is going on starting this morning. We're looking forward to what Brother Brian has brought for us. But that's this morning and tonight at 5:30. And then every night, Monday through Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Please make sure you're here each night and be inviting people to come and get under the sound of the gospel this week. We will have not an official choir practice, but try to Brother Tim wants us to get here around 10 after 5 so we can get settled in and just get orientated. Is that more like it? All right. I don't think that's a real word, but you know what I mean, right? So we may not have a full practice, but 5:10 for the choir. Just make sure we're all here and ready to go tonight. And the choir will be singing every night this week. So try to get here a few minutes early so you can get up here, and that'll help with the spirit of the service if we can get in here not rushing in at the last minute. And then keep on going the rest of this week. On Thursday, it'll be May 2nd, which will be the first Thursday of the month. That means it's a service at the Waterford this Thursday at 7 o'clock. And then Saturday will be Sewing Saturday, going out knocking on doors for the men and young men at 10 o'clock this morning. Don't forget, tonight we are having a fellowship after the service. The food's already been planned out. And I think we're going to try to do it up under the tent, so that'll be a little extra exciting. So a fellowship after the service tonight. If you didn't have any more, and if you didn't already have enough reasons to come, that's another one. So that'll be some good food. If you have any questions about that for tonight, I think Bethany and Miss Inez are maybe kind of leading the charge on that. So see one of them after the service. The preacher talked about Ladies Jubilee. There's a bunch of bags over here and that are kind of extras. And especially if you weren't here yesterday, or if you're a lady, you want to grab one of those or grab, they're kind of first come, first serve, okay? So we don't want to throw them away. We just want you to have them. So if you're a lady and you know someone that might need a bag, come on and grab one after the service, okay? These glasses right here, I think, were found yesterday. I'm sorry. So if you think you know these are yours or not, might know whose they are, we have a winner. All right, you get the glasses. No. We were talking about that yesterday with the llama. All right. We'll get them to you, okay? All right. So that's that. And I think that's all I got. You ready?
Okay. I'm still getting over-orientated. I don't use five-syllable words. 365. How great thou art. Let's stand and sing together a few verses. 365. Sing out now. Oh Lord my God, when I am awesome wonder, consider all the world that thou made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, my power throughout the
third verse, we'll sing that, and then we'll sing the fourth and have you drop out on the chorus. Let's sing the third.
And when I see that God His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bear.
Thank you. Be seated. Let's have the ushers come forward. Take care of the morning offering. Now, this is the regular church offering at the end of every service this week. Take a love offering for our visiting preacher. And we've got some other folks coming. Now, I do want to mention this to the ladies. We are going to try to have a nursery every evening, and we need some help in the nursery. We've got the same, seem like we've got the same three or four working in the nursery all the time, and it's not fair to them to have to miss so many services during the week. And so we need some volunteers. You say, well, I've already raised my kids. Well, why don't you help raise somebody else's a little while? I've actually been in the nursery once. So I know how it is. It was a day when the youth had the service, and so I volunteered to do the nursery at my first church. And when it was over, I said, I'm not going to do that no more. But it's different for the men in there with a bunch. And I mean, for whatever reason, everybody brought their babies that Sunday. And me and Tommy Williams were in there, and Brother Tommy just died here not long ago, but I'm telling you, you talk about two guys that did not belong in the nursery. It was me and Brother Tommy, I'm telling you. But anyway, we do need some help, so please, ladies, if you'll volunteer, where's Bethany at? She's in the nursery. We need two each service, right? Is that what we do? Two each. So I'm not sure how many, but I know there's four that I know are pretty regular at it. So we need, you know, maybe two. If you just go to Bethany, she takes care of that. Just say, I'll do one night, maybe two for Monday night, two different ones for Tuesday night, two different ones for Wednesday night. And that'll just kind of keep it where we want everybody to be able to be in service and so on. And really, it's a ministry. It is a ministry to be able to do that. And we've got, seem like the Lord's blessed, we've got more children around here. And so we want to be sure they're cared for. And I promise you they will be well cared for. I promise you that. So you guys, if you'd like to volunteer, ladies, to do that, you see Bethany after the service, okay? All right, let's pray. Father, we love you, and what a joy it is to be back in the house of the Lord on this, the Lord's Day, the last Sunday of April. We're already into the summer months. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for everyone that's come out today. My heart is thrilled to see the visitors here and see our regular folks, our visitors. Good to have Maisie and Sandro here, our missionaries to Peru. We're so glad that everything went well with Nico's birth, and now it won't be long they'll be headed back to the field out there in Peru. And so, God, we're glad they're able to be here. We're thankful to have Angie and Jessica here with us all the way from Virginia. She'll be singing for us here in a moment. Lord, we're just grateful for everyone that's come this way. God, I pray you'll bless the offering now, the gift and the giver. You know our needs here, Father. We have financial needs. needs, and we need to meet those needs. And how we do that is the way God intended to be done, by the tithes and offerings of your people. So I pray that you bless the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor says more about Brother Brian being here to preach. Angie, you have some songs for us, I believe.
I would really like to thank the Lord for being here today. I thank Brother Rick and Miss Judy for allowing me to be here. Thank you for the motel. Thank you for being so good to me. Jesse, we've had fun. We really had fun yesterday. In the Garden of Gethsemane, I can see my Savior there as He talked to the Father and earnest prayer. He said, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. But if not, Lord, it satisfies me. And if it satisfies you, Lord, then it satisfies me. These few words may my prayer ever be. If you'd have me on a mountain or in the valley, down on my knees, either way, Lord, it satisfies me. Now the signs of the times, Lord, they are on every hand. How my heart longs to see the promised land. If I go by the grave or in the end your face I see, either way, Lord, it satisfies me. And if it satisfies you, Lord, then it satisfies me. These few words may my prayer ever be. If you'd have me on a mountain or in the valley, down on my knees, either way, Lord, it satisfies me. Every hope that I have here in this and I'm tossed to and fro. I find peace beneath that flow, and my hope is in the blood of the precious Lamb of God. There's no other fountain so sweet. It has washed away my sin, gave me peace and joy within. My hope is anchored in His blood. Now only one thing will matter when the time has come to die. All the treasures of the world won't mean a thing. But there's joy in knowing Jesus. It will banish all our fears, for He took away the sting. And my hope is in the blood of the precious Lamb of God. There's no other fountain so sweet. It has washed away my sin, gave me peace and joy within.
That. We love Angie and her husband Jeremy. And I think y'all work with the youth there at the church too, don't you? Yeah, I thought you did. While we were there, they got their youth choir together and sang one night during the meeting. And man, I'm telling you, heaven come down. And we so enjoyed that and love Angie. Appreciate her and Jessica being able to come. You guys leaving, when you leave this afternoon to head back? About a 6-hour drive or so. So surely pray for these ladies as they travel back. Well, it's revival time and we're so glad to have back with us again Brother Brian Gurley, the pastor of the Old Paths Bible Baptist Church in Peachland, North Carolina. Now, if you want to know where Peachland is, it's right outside of Ansonville. That ought to get everybody go, huh? it's a suburb of Ansonville. It's about 40 miles, I guess, maybe east of Charlotte, and just on the other side of Monroe. North Carolina, where Brother Bobby's at, and their pastor was Brother Rick Baker, Faith Baptist Church in Mint Hill. Of course, Sister Devin spoke yesterday. Everybody said, I listened to about 10 seconds of it. I was checking on my phone just to see if the live stream was okay, and so I listened about 10 minutes, and I heard all the heresy I wanted to hear, and I turned, no, not at all, not at all. Everybody just talked about how good the lesson was yesterday. And, of course, we're glad to have him, his wife, Devin, and their boys, and then their little girl. Where's Jewel? She's over there with Brittany. And the two oldest boys will have to go back. They've got school and got tests. And they said they didn't want to miss them tests. No, but they can't miss them, I think, because it's kind of the end of the year. So Jackson, you and Justin will be coming back at night with Brother Brian's parents each night, but then go back for school there in the Mint Hill where they live, or in Peachland. And so anyway, we're glad to have Brother Brian. He's preached for us a couple times. Always enjoy Brian. You're going to enjoy his preaching. Great preacher. Come on up, Brother Brian. We're so glad to have you here with us. Devin, stand up so everybody else can see you. And all the kids stand up. They're scattered here. That's Justin, Jackson, and Jay, and Jewel. How about that? Now, let's see, Jay, first of all, we want to congratulate Jay. He was in a fine arts program for Christian schools. Was that the state one or the national one? The state for North, and they do the sword drill, you know, where you hold up your Bible and they call out it and you find it. He won in the whole state of North Carolina. Yeah, that's right, give him a hand. And he was so excited to win that after the Jubilee yesterday, he came to my house and ate 4 honey buns. I mean, look at him. He's my leg's bigger than he is. I mean, 8'4" and wanted more, but they stopped him. We gave a whole box. Did you go home and eat some more when you got home? You didn't really? He's rethinking that, the last statement. No, we love this family. God bless you all. So good. And they'll be here all this week through Wednesday. I hope you'll come every night at 7 o'clock for the service. We'll try to meet maybe about 20 minutes till each night to pray. And then we'll have the service. So I hope you'll come and be part of this meeting this week. Come on, Brother Brian. We're glad to have you here with us, brother. We love you. And you preach what the Lord's laid on your heart.
Thank you, preacher. All right, Mark chapter number 12, if you have your Bibles. I used to look like Jay, and I started eating those honey buns, and that's why I look the way I do. I'm glad to be here. It's a joy to be here. We had a good time yesterday, and this is, we've been coming a few years, and so every year you get to know people a little bit better, and I've enjoyed coming around. Of course, Brother Rick and Brother Tim and Miss Judy and Miss Mascalier, they came down, I guess, a few months back. And we did a little singing school. They come down on a Saturday and a Sunday. And the preacher preached for us on a men's meeting in that Sunday. But we love you, church. We love the people here. This is a sweet place to be, ain't it? It's a sweet spirit. And I believe you're in the right place if you're a member here, of course, and then visiting. This is just a good place to be. It's a sweet spirit. And I don't just say that. I've been places, and I have preached places, and it's really, really bad shape. I wouldn't come here to say that. If I didn't have anything good to say, I'd talk about these llamas that are behind me. I'd say something about the decorations. But it's a good place to be, and I'm sure I'm glad to be in God's house. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I know I'm saved. And I'm thankful that I know Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Trusted in His blood to wash my sins away. Nothing else. No good works. No good deeds. Go to bed every night. You know, you talk to people about the Lord, and you ask them, do you know for sure if you died, are you going to heaven? Well, if people don't believe in Jesus Christ as their only source of salvation, that means they believe in what they can do to get to heaven. It means they think they need to be baptized, they need to partake of a Eucharist, they need to join a church, they need to be a good person, they need their good works to outweigh your bad works. So when us that are saved and know it, try to talk to somebody that doesn't really know it, and we say that we know we're saved, in their eyes and in their mind, they think, well, what makes you think you're so good to be saved? And the truth is, we're not good enough to be saved. The truth is, there's not a one of us in here that could ever, ever, ever do enough good works to earn our way or merit our way into heaven. But we put every bit of our trust in Jesus Christ and what He did in His life and in His death and in His resurrection. Jesus Christ bore the sins of mankind. He shed His blood on the cross to make an atonement for our sins. And I know, standing here this morning, I'm going to heaven. It has nothing to do with Brian Gurley, but it has everything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary. And it's a blessing. Ain't it liberty? Ain't it freedom to know that you're saved? And go to bed at night knowing I don't have to muster up something the next day. Man, we just rest in Jesus. And that's why you come here and we sing about Jesus. We preach about Jesus. We talk about Jesus. We fellowship all because of Jesus Christ. We know each other. We'd have never crossed paths probably had it not been for Jesus Christ. And so we love Him and we try to exalt Him that way. Let's stand together. I want to read a parable here in the book of Mark. Mark chapter number 12. How long does your preacher preach here? Huh? When he's done? He's not on time limit? He don't have nobody in the back going like this? What's about? We took all our, y'all don't have clocks neither in here. I took our, we don't have any clocks in our church. I said, you go in the casinos, they don't have clocks. So they want you to stay, and then people put clocks in their church. I don't know. There ain't a clock behind me, is there? No, I don't see nothing. Okay. All right. Mark chapter number 12, verse number 1. The Bible says that He began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it and digged a place for the wine fat and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And at the season he sent to the husbandmen a servant that he might receive from the husbandmen of the fruit of the vineyard. And they called him and beat him and sent them away empty. And again, he sent unto them another servant, and at him they cast stones and wounded him in the head and sent him away shamefully handled. And again, he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Having yet therefore one son, his only son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and killed him, and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandmen, and will give the vineyard unto others. And have you not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they sought to lay hold on him, but feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them. And they left him and went their way. Let's pray together. I'll let you be seated, all right? Father, we're thankful to be in your house. It's always a privilege to come and meet in your name. Lord, it's a blessing to be around a group of people who enjoy singing about you and Lord, testifying about you. Lord, it's a blessing to be in a place where people are like-minded, Lord, where they love your word. Lord, thank you for Sunday school already. Lord, it's been a blessing to my heart. Listen to Brother Kraut and Lord, the singing, all of it, Lord, the choir, every bit of this morning here, Lord, has been to me, has to be pleasing in your sight. And Lord, it's been a joy in my heart to be around it. I want to thank you for it. Thank you for the good fellowship we've had. But Father, it's your word. I ask you, please, to use it. Lord, you know every heart here. You know every person. I don't believe, Lord, in accidents. Lord, as far as people being here this morning, you know, where every person is spiritually, Lord, I ask you please to work in each and every heart, Lord, saved and lost alike. And Lord, may we leave out of here getting some help so that we can please you and serve you more. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Back in verse 1, it says he began to speak unto them by parables. So the Lord is beginning to speak into a group of people. And it's always important to find out who's speaking. It's always important to find out who the person is speaking to. And you know it's the Lord speaking to a group of people. He's using these parables, which means he's going to use a fictional story to illustrate some type of truth. If you would go back to chapter number 11 and look at verse number 27, I want to read it to you who he's talking to in the parable. Some probably know, most probably know, but maybe some here not familiar with this chapter. In verse number 27, the Bible says, and they come again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priest and the scribes and the elders. And so that's the group of people that the Lord is addressing. In this parable, he's talking to chief priests, he's talking to scribes, and he's talking to elders. These people are the religious leaders of the nation of Israel. These men represent what the nation of Israel has become. The Bible says in verse number 12 of chapter 12, look at this, verse number 12, the Bible says, and they sought to lay hold on him, that's the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders, they sought to lay hold on him, but feared the people. Look at this. For they knew that he had spoken the parable against them. So the Lord in the parable is addressing his own people. He is addressing the nation of Israel. He is talking to those leaders that are in charge of the temple. They represent the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, and he's dealing with them on how the nation of Israel has treated God's servants ever since the beginning of time, he is addressing how God has continuously sent preacher after preacher or prophet after prophet. He has sent truth their way. He has done everything he can to teach his people what's right, but his people have always and continually rejected what God has sent them. In fact, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus says it this way. He says, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, whom he slew between the temple and altar." You see what he's charging his people with? He is charging his people that he has sent them truth. He has sent them preachers. He has sent them prophets, but they don't receive any of them. They have refused them. They have rejected them. In fact, in the story, they beat some. They stone some. They kill some. And here's the whole problem with this group of people. They do not want any authority in their life. They don't want anybody to come by their way and tell them what to do. They don't want anybody to come in their life and maybe tell them how they ought to act and how they ought to talk and where they ought to go and where they shouldn't go. And when these people see somebody come their way that starts to interfere with their life, they do everything they can to get them out of there. They do everything they can to block them out, to block that voice and to shut them down. They do not want any authority in their life. In fact, I want to read this with you because I want you to just think I'm jumping on old something that's riding out. Look back at chapter number 11, verse number 28. Chapter 11, verse number 28. The Bible says, "And say unto him," now watch, "by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "I will also ask of you one question and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things." And even in the last verse, you could read it all later. "And they answered and said unto Jesus, we cannot tell. And Jesus answering said to them, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things." And so he tells the parable. Now watch one more verse. I'm going to talk to you for a minute. Look at one more verse. He tells the parable and look at verse number 10. Verse number 10 is a reference back to the book of Psalms, chapter 118. The Bible says, "And have ye not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become," look at this, "the head of the corner." See what Jesus is dealing with this group of people? He's dealing with authority. He said the same stone that you've rejected, which is Christ, the one that you refused and don't want anything to do with, here's what he's become. He's become the head. He is the authority. And these folks here, they didn't want to deal with him. He comes in saying he's the chosen one. He's the Messiah. He lets them know that he's the head. And they don't want anything to do with that. You understand this morning, you don't do anything without your head. I mean, your head told you to come here today. Your head's the one that told you what to put on to wear today. You don't scratch your face. You don't do anything with that head giving you the directions of what to do every single second of the day. It's your head that's doing that. And here's Jesus Christ declaring unto them, "I have come unto you to rule. I have come unto you to reign. I have come unto you to be the authority. I have sent prophets to give you the truth. And you have rejected that and don't want any authority in your life. And they have done everything they can to get rid of it." Well, man, the day we live in, come on, man, it's just like that today. We live in such a messed up world. And I'm telling you, the basis of every that I see It's a problem with authority. I don't watch a lot of news. They're all liars anyway. Some slant it one way and some slant it. If you think Fox News is telling you the truth, you better go check your... Nobody's telling you the truth. They're going to tell you whatever they can to push their agenda to get them another dollar in their pocket. That's what they're really interested in. However, there is a group of people in this nation that I've never seen. I'm over 40. I'm not an old man. But I've never seen people act the way they act now towards authority. I don't care really, honestly, who you voted for. It doesn't matter for me. That there is a group who is completely anti-Bible and anti-God. Those can I just talk freely? Those Democrats, they sure are anti-God. I got one amen from one woman. Those Democrats are anti-God. Sodomy. Come on. Abortion. Anything that has to do with the Bible. I don't care who you vote for. It doesn't matter. It don't matter what color. None of that stuff matters. When we were growing up, my parents, they taught us to respect authority. And not pout like a bunch of babies. And whine and cry and throw temper tantrums. And I think now people got to go see a psychiatrist because Trump's the president. Go punch a punching bag that's got his name written. The problem's authority. I don't care where you stand. We love law enforcement. I mean, if you don't love them, listen, go live somewhere. Don't ever call them if you need them. I thank God for them. The only time I'd ever liked a cop is when I was lost and had cans in my car and bags in my car. Once I got saved, I started loving the police. Is everyone right? No. Do some of them take liberties they ought not to take? Absolutely. There's crooked people in every business. You know what that Bible teaches, no matter if you like it or not, God has placed authority in our lives. He said in Romans 13 that God has placed government as ministers. As ministers. God raises up authority and puts them in our lives. And if you're saved, it is your job and my job to respect that authority. Whether you agree with their policies. Listen, I don't agree with what our government does. I don't agree. They support things that are anti-Bible. But I tell you, if God put that man in office, he deserves respect as the authority that he's in. That's right. People hate authority. And the bad thing is, listen, out there, honestly, we're in here, who cares what they do? Lost men are going to be lost men. Lost families are going to be lost families. Those people acting like animals on the television, come on, man, they don't have Jesus Christ. They're going that direction. That's what we expect. Here's what I don't understand. I don't understand how that kind of attitude and that kind of mentality, how it can creep inside the church. It's amazing. I mean, we got this idea that we can be saved and know Christ and have eternal life and just do whatever we want to do. You know the same problem out there is thin skin. People don't want anybody to interfere with their life. They want people to preach, and as long as they stay behind the pulpit, as long as they preach from up here and don't ever get nowhere on the pew, or if they don't ever deal with something specific, just let me come in and be my preacher, but don't be my pastor. I'll tell you what that is. That's the problem with authority. Authority. Come on, man. People leave over the craziest things, over the silliest things. And I'm telling you, most of the time, it's a problem with authority and somebody telling me what to do. It's the truth. I would say, listen, here's how it is. People don't want to join a church. People don't want to be a member of a smaller church because if they get in a bigger place, they can slide in and slide out and nobody's going to hold them accountable. I'm just telling you how the Bible operates. The Bible gives authority to the church. Come on, we ain't got time to run the references, but if you just read the Bible, nobody in here possibly could argue that God gives authority to the church. I'm not the type of man, I'm telling you, you ask our people, I'm not the man of God, capital N. Every time man of God's used in the Bible, it's a little M and a big G. Come on, there's no big men of God, all that silly, I can't stand that stuff. But, man, nobody could read the Bible and argue. God does give authority to a pastor. There is a rule. There is a hierarchy somehow where God intends for people to get inside the umbrella of a local church and let them help dictate their life. And people just don't like that. People don't like it. Let's go back. Let's go somewhere. Let's go to Isaiah. Hold your place in Mark. We'll come back. Look at Isaiah. I want to show you something about authority in the Lord Jesus Christ. This group of people, obviously their problem is authority, because when they take the Lord captive there in the garden, after they humiliate Him and they beat Him, you know what they do? They take our Lord and they put a purple robe on Him. And they take a crown of thorns and they drive it down on His brow. And they stick a sceptre or a reed in His hand. And they bow down and they mock Him as if He wants to be the authority. But He's no authority of ours. You understand the problem of this group? They just don't want anybody to tell them what to do. Ain't that right? No rule in their life. They don't want to submit. Don't want to humble down. Isaiah chapter number 5. I want to show you this, I guess. Isaiah chapter 5. He used the word well-beloved. You remember that word back there in the parable? He said, my well-beloved, my one son. Watch this. Isaiah chapter number, verse number 1. Now will I sing to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press therein, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought forth wild grapes, and now go to, I will tell you what I'll do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste, it shall not be pruned, nor dig, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I'll also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. Look, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. You know what he asked Israel, verse number 4? Look what he said in verse 4. What could have been done more to my vineyard? The Lord looked at his people and he said, what else could I do? Why wouldn't you let me be the authority? What else could I have done for you? What would you have wanted me to do more to prove to you that I would take care of you? I'd do everything that you need in your life. I'm just saying what you have this morning. If you're not saved, there's a God of heaven that loves you and cares about you. He has done everything in His power to let people know that He will take them in and comfort them and let them rest and give them a home in heaven and give them eternal life. And I think he sits up there and he says, what more could I possibly do? And people sit back and they say, I don't want him. And listen, I said all that about the pastor and the church. And here's why. Because people sit at home and they act like they love Jesus Christ. And they act like they love the Bible. If you can't have a man stand over you and be your pastor or have a congregation around you to help dictate your life, you do not care about Christ like you say you do. It's a fact. It's a fact. And the Jesus Christ of the Bible, people take him and they mold him into this whatever they want to make them feel better. People don't want him on the throne. That's why they stuck him on the cross. That's why people don't mind Jesus being in a manger. It's non-threatening. Little baby in a manger is non-threatening. As long as he's not on the throne. Listen, him being on the cross? Come on, that's non-threatening. Come on, he's pinned to a cross. He can't really do anything. They don't mind that. This effeminate Jesus of Hollywood? It's non-threatening. Come on, what's that little guy going to do to us? He's non-threatening. Come on, man, that's not him. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You understand the Bible says he became obedient to the cross. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I tell you, he's wanting to be the authority in your life. Let me say another passage. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Here's what happens if a man doesn't want to let Christ be the authority in his life. This is automatically, listen, I don't know. Honestly, there's so many new people here. I don't know who's members, who's visitors. So I'm not shooting at nobody. I just know the people's been here for 3 years. I don't know where you're at, but if you're here this morning and you're dodging this thing of authority, I'm telling you, this is what's going to happen. And just because you're a member here, that don't mean you love authority. Come on, man. There's people that sit in the church house and sit here for years. And it seems they sure can read the Bible and not do anything that it says. So, come on, man. Help me. That's the truth. People sit in the same seat for 10 years and they don't do any more than they did the first year on the 10th. They're just doing the same old things and just living their own life. Listen, if this is the authority, things are changing all the time. It's all the time. Come on, man. Anybody in here arrived? Come on. Am I in the wrong place? Is everybody in here just got angels' wings and halos? Come on. We're messed up. I'm messed up. I'll just be honest. I'm messed up. I got problems. Not every day I just get up and roaring for Jesus and hitting it on all cylinders. That's not my life. When I got problems. And then when I think I got it all figured out, that's when I figure out I really got problems. This is better when I see it myself. Come on, man. We're just growing in this thing. And there's more to do than what we're doing. We need authority. We need somebody in our lives. We need somebody to help us. Come on, man. And I'm just telling you, God's got that thing. He's got government. He's got... I mean, we mentioned it in Sunday school. He's got police. He's got a pastor for you. He's got a church for you. It's just amazing. People don't like that authority. They like you preaching as long as it is for it's that family. And then the first time ever anything said towards me and my family, how dare you? You're laughing because it's true. It's true. We see people leave for the craziest stuff. Authority. Anyway, here's what's going to happen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. Wherefore also is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion the chief cornerstone, elect, precious, that he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Now watch. And, don't stop in verse 7, there's a comma. He is the head. Come on, you're not changing that. He's Lord. Don't matter if you believe it. Don't matter if you ever bow to this in eternity. One day you'll bow. He is the head. But when a man does not allow him to be the head of his life, when a man does not let that Bible dictate every day what he does, when that guy gets settled in his mind that this is the life I'm going to live and nobody's going to change that, this is what happens in verse number 8. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. You know what the Bible said Jesus is going to become to those that people that don't like him as the authority? He becomes a stumbling block. You understand what a you understand when he's the cornerstone? He's in the rightful place. He's in that place where he's supposed to be, and then you can start building that foundation and start building up. But if he's not where he's supposed to be, that means he's just out here somewhere. You understand what that's talking about? When they built that temple, they worked to fashion those rocks on site. They built those things. They fashioned those stones by hand. So they had to fashion them way over there. Then they had to ship them over here. And the men here, they got the stones and they looked at it and they said, all right, here, this goes here, this goes here. And so they brought them this stone that they fashioned and said, this is the cornerstone. You know what the builders did? They looked at it, they started to put it there, and they said, no, wait a minute. That thing don't fit there. It did fit there. But the builders didn't think it fit there. So they took the stone away from where it's supposed to be and set it down right there in the middle of the building project. So now you got people carrying stones and walking around. They're walking, and there's that stone right there, and they got to walk around it. Well, they got what? They're going to stumble over if they don't, and they're trying to get it. It's just right there in the way. Come on, man. There's people living like that right now. The church, they're just in, it's just something I got to work around. Come on, they keep inviting me back, but I got to figure some way to get around that. You know what the problem is? The problem is authority. It's authority. Come on, some people, their Bible's in the way. Come on, they get up in the morning, there's their Bible, they sit, they go, oh, I got to go to work. I got to watch the news. I got to get on my day. Okay, how can I get it? It's just there. You got to get around it. Come on, man. There's a problem with authority somewhere. You go back to that Isaiah 5 and you read it. I was trying to hurry through it. You go back and you read, you know what the problem is with the group of people that don't want Christ? It's sin. It's sin. There's things in their life they just would rather hold on to. They don't want to let go of it. They're not willing to submit. They're not willing to forgive. They're not willing to do. Because it's my life. Come on, man, it's my life. You don't have the right to tell me what to do. This is my life. It's authority. Problem with authority. And the whole time Christ says, why? Why don't you trust me? Why don't you let me have your life and let me dictate what you do? Let me show you where you ought to go, where you ought not to go, and how you ought to live. And why don't you trust me with that? Come on, man, is that not a good question this morning? Why don't we trust him? What more could possibly do in our lives to show us he's going to take care of us? We got this idea, man, if we trust him and we let him have it, then our lives is going to be his. God said, why would you ever think that? I don't know when you got saved. I got saved when I was 25 years old. You know what that did? That gave me just enough time to go try to live life for myself and see if I could put together a good life. Come on, man, I'm saved in preaching. You know what that ought to tell you? It didn't work out quite like I thought. Come on, how come you're here? How come you're saved? Come on, if that life out there was so great, how come you're still not in it? If those drugs are so great and you're longing to get back up, he's not going to tell you. Why aren't you out there doing them? Why aren't you out there? Come on, man, that life don't have nothing. It ends in death. It ends in disappointment. And then here's Christ saying, man, why wouldn't you let me? And you know what we did, those of you guys? We trusted him and let him save us. And I'm telling you, sometimes after you get saved, you come across things in the Bible and you know you ought to do it, but you say, nah. You know how Christ just said, why? Didn't I save you? Wasn't that pretty good? I'm just telling you, man. What a Savior. I want to show you this. Here's what I'll take. Go back to Mark. I want to show you this. I'll give it to you real fast. Look at Mark. Watch this. I want to say this one thing here. You know, Mark chapter number 12, verse 10. The Bible says, "And have you not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner." Listen, that's going to tell. He is the head. You understand that. Nobody's changing that. But look at this next verse. "This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Now, it says question mark, but in Psalms it's not a question mark. He's not asking, is it marvelous? He's saying, did you ever read it? If you go back there and read it, there's not a question mark. It's a period. He's just asking the question. Did you ever read that back there? He became the head. And you know what the guy Isaiah said? He said, it's marvelous. Him and him becoming the head and what he did to become the head, man, it's wonderful. It is wonderful. I mean, you start looking at what he did to become the head, man, I don't know what better word could a God use in that text to just simply say, man, him becoming the head, it's just absolutely marvelous. It is a great thing. It is a wonderful thing. You can't improve on that thing. Him becoming the head and the authority of that thing, it's absolutely marvelous. And I'd say this, not just overall, but him becoming the head in my life when I got saved and becoming the head in your life. Would you not just look back and say, man, what a wonderful thing when God took control, when we allowed him to be Lord of our life. It's a marvelous thing. Here's why it's marvelous. Watch this. Look at verse number. I don't know if we realize. Look at the chances he gave these people. Look. Verse 3, he sent them servants. Verse 2, they caught them, beat them, sent them away empty. Verse 4, look at this. And again, you know what he did? He sent them another servant. You see that? And the Bible says they cast stones and wounded him in the head. You would think after that, you said, you know what? No more. I'm not sending nobody else. Look at verse 5. And again. And again. And again. And again. I'm just telling you, who would do something like that? What kind of God would do something? What kind of horror? He must be a real horrible God. And how can I trust? But look at what he is. He's a merciful God. He's a long-suffering God. He's a gracious God. I'm going to tell you why it's marvelous. Because they didn't deserve the first time, much less the 50th time. He sent them Abel. He sent them Zacharias, John the Baptist, all those back in Jezebel's day. And finally, he sent him his only begotten son. And even to this day, guess what? He's still not done with them. What a God. Come on, man. Anybody else in here didn't get saved when they was 5 or 6 and messed up their life and come around and God opened up their eyes and say, hey, man, this thing's not working, and find out there's no hope and all that stuff. I remember I was 25 years old, and I'm talking about getting under conviction. Man, I grew up in a Christian home. He should have dumped me a long time ago. I grew up in a Christian home, knew the Bible, had Christian parents. I got old enough, I said, I don't want that. And I'm just saying, he should have dumped me. And I, you know, he should have been done, but here he come again. Here he come again. I don't understand why, but here he come back around again. 25 years old, he just saved my wife. And I remember he started convicting me. I said, no, I got this stuff in my life. I don't know how to get rid of it anyway. And I'm telling you, for six months, why? I don't know. But for 6 months, you know, just every day, he just kept coming by again and again and again. Is that not wonderful? Aren't you glad? Does anybody else think it's marvelous that God would just take that time specifically for you, so that you can just make a right decision, allow him to be loyal? It's a marvelous thing to be. the chances he gave to me is absolutely. He said over Matthew, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets." He said, how often would I gather you, thy children together as a hen that gathereth her wing under her wings, and you would. No, he said this again and again and again and again. That's a marvelous thing. The chances he gave, the course he took. I'm out of time and I know it. You know, he didn't just come in there and force his lordship on nobody. But this is marvelous. God came to this earth, not as a little babe, as a baby, and grew up as a lamb, meek. He was in the garden. You understand, when he was in the garden, they came to get him, and all he said was, "I am he." And all of them fall flat on their backs. And then our Savior allowed them to get right back up and take him and take him over that cross and nail that cross. And he died. But in the text and in other scriptures too, you know how he became the head? He didn't stay in the grave. You're talking about marvelous. He sure didn't look like much when he was like a worm on that cross. But on the third day, when he come out of that tomb with that resurrected body, I tell you, it's marvelous. When he comes back and he gets us out of here, and then we get to come back with him for those 1,000 years in the reign, he sits on the throne as King of Kings. What a marvelous thing. Chances he gave, the course he took. I want to give you this, and I wish I could read it. Look at verse number 9 when he says, "What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandman." Look at this. "And will give the vineyard," look at this, "unto others." You talking about marvelous. You know who gets in because of the first group that rejected him? Come on, man. We were as Gentiles, Ephesians 2, that had absolutely no hope. We were a bunch of dogs. You understand? A bunch of Gentile dogs that had no access. You understand? And Jesus Christ gave us the opportunity. He allowed us to get, if nobody else, I think that's a marvelous thing that he let somebody like us get in on this thing. Marvelous thing. And then the last one, he said, verse number 9. He said, "What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do?" I think this is marvelous. Come on, look at this. "He will come and destroy the husbandman." I got lost family. And even those people on television that make you so mad and your blood pressure go up sky high. At the end of the day, here's the honest truth. I don't want to see one person go to hell. I don't want none of my family to go to hell. But I'll just tell you the truth. We've been mocked so many times. And it's not that they mock us. It's that there is a God in heaven that loves them and gave his only begotten son to die on the cross for their sin. And they continually reject him and reject. And this nation is rejecting him. And we don't want him. We don't want him around our schools. We don't want him around our courts. We don't want him in our laws. We don't want him in our thoughts. Get him away from us. I don't want to see any of them go to hell. But I tell you, it is a marvelous thing to know that one day he's going to come back and they're not going to spit on him. They're not going to lock him up. They're not going to put him on a cross. They're not going to put some board up above his head and make fun of him. He's going to come back. He's going to sit on that throne in Jerusalem and he's going to reign for 1,000 years and can't one person do anything about it. It's marvelous. Come on, man, if you're saved and he's the authority of your life, you ought to rejoice because this ain't the last chapter. He's going to settle the score. That's a marvelous thing. Everybody thinks they've done something to the church and done. I'm telling you, God's got every drop of blood that's ever been spilt by every martyr. He is going to set this thing straight one day. It's a blessing, ain't it? I want to read this to you. I'm done. The Bible says in Isaiah 8, "Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. and let Him be your fear, and let Him be your dread. Listen to this. Listen to this. And He shall be for a sanctuary. Here's what He's saying. If you'll let Him be the authority in your life, He's going to take care of you. It's a blessing. It's marvelous. Last thing is this. Over there in Ezra 3, it says this. That those builders were rebuilding the temple. Listen to this. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of King David, king of Israel. Listen to this. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because He is good, for His mercy endureth forever towards Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord. And here's why. Because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. You know, in order to lay the foundation, you've got to have the cornerstone in the right place. And the Bible said in Ezra, man, they got to shouting and singing and rejoicing and praising the Lord together. All because of one thing. Because they got that cornerstone right in the right place and was able to lay that right foundation. And I'm telling you this. For me, it had to get in my life where I found out everything had to be a mess for me to ever realize Jesus Christ was the answer. But I'm telling you this morning, man, if your home's not right or your life's not right, your family's in, you don't have joy like you should, I know where it lies. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ ain't in His rightful place. I beg you this morning. If you know there's things that you got to get right, things you got to let go of, things you got to submit to, things you got to repent of, people you got to forgive, whatever it is, I beg you, trust Christ enough to let Him be the authority. Get that thing right in your life. Allow Him to be the Lord of your life. And I'm telling you, He can restore that joy, give you a shout. Life's a whole lot better on this side. Anybody else glad you're saved this morning? But this thing of getting saved is not just, it's not just, okay, I think I'll believe and get saved. Come on, man, it's call upon the name of the Lord. Believe on the, come on, if at last day He could have you bow and say, Jesus Christ is holy, Jesus Christ is just. No, you know what you're going to say? Jesus Christ is, man, He just wants to be Lord of your life. He just wants to be Lord of your life. Let's all stand and pray. Let preacher come take over. Right. Father, we love You, Lord. Thank You for Your Word. And Lord, I ask You, please use it. Maybe somebody here is lost. Maybe somebody here is, maybe they're just thankful that they're saved. And Lord, you just work in our hearts, Lord, for Your honor and Your glory. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, you've heard the message. We're going to sing a verse of a song. If you got something in your life that you need to get right, you need to come do that. If you've got somebody you need to get right with, you need to do that. And most of all, if you're not saved, today's the day to make Jesus Christ. Now, we do not preach or believe lordship salvation. He's more than he can't be your Lord until He's your Savior. But when He becomes your Savior, you should have absolutely no trouble making Him your Lord. And just like He preached, all that He's done already, why wouldn't you trust Him with the rest of it? Somebody here might need to get saved. In fact, I feel sure there's people here that need to get saved. And you need to come and trust Christ as your personal Savior. Not just, well, I believe in God. Well, the Bible said, well, if you do that, you do well. The devils believe and tremble. It's not hard to believe in God, But it is hard to make Him the Lord of your life. Because now you don't have control of anything anymore. Father, bless this moment of invitation. I know that God has spoken to hearts here today. I know it. You spoke to my heart. So, Father, I pray that folks will come and just give Jesus Christ His proper place as the chief cornerstone. Help Anchor Baptist Church to build this work not on me, not on anybody here, but on Jesus Christ. Bless the invitation in Christ's name. We're singing what page?